am introducing the one and only Ellen Chilimba. Plenty to say about Ellen. She has done quite a lot since her time here. She is a senior. She's the founder and director of Tuwali, which is a community-based organization that supports women in Malawi through providing economic and educational opportunities. She's a global change maker, Forbes Africa 30 Under 30. She's so embarrassed right now. I'm going to keep going. Glamour College Woman of the Year, a DJ and artist, and a gardener. She's an amazing writer. Yeah. Ellen Chilimba, everyone.
Painful. Hi everybody, how's it going? Hey, could take a deep breath in, deep breath out, relax. I know it's finals. Thank you for coming through. The piece that I'm going to read is dedicated to my mother, and it's in remembrance of my late aunt who passed away 2 years ago. She was HIV positive. It's called Market Day. She switched off the ignition and turned my way. After we get the fuel, remind me to get some air. That tire on your side is not looking good. We should stop by the bank as well. It was midday on a Saturday in Lilongwe. The sun was above us, grinning in its full glory. Our bodies had surrendered. We were all melting. The queue ahead of us stood hopeless. Trucks, tankers, minibuses, motorcycles, and all other moving things had come to a complete halt. Also, Tina's trousers. Let's drop them off at the tailor's before the bank. She paused, contemplated, then added, if he's still not done after the bank, we can head to the market while he finishes. He should be done by then. This guy doesn't play. She was speaking at me, but not to me. She sank into her seat, her head resting on her palm, her arm collapsing into the door, her other hand engulfed by the handbrake. She was prepared to speed off once the traffic resumed. At the market, we need tomatoes, onions, potatoes, nyama, and charcoal. 16 years as my mother's daughter, I had come to learn to be attentive during this recital. Later at the market, when her mind deceived her, I would be put to test. I was her spare mind. I think I should make a salad tonight. Let's get cabbage and some carrots as well. She closed her eyes and was nodding. This was my mother's mental audit of her budget. In this case, the money was not enough. On some days such as today, I retreated into silence in protest of this compulsory mother-daughter market trip scheduled to prepare me for womanhood. Today, my protest was further prolonged due to our earlier fight. For surrendering and coming on this trip, mother at least owed me air conditioning. So I turned the air conditioner on. Mother snapped and inquired how much I was contributing to her fuel, then shut the conditioner off. I retaliated and rolled down my window, stretching my arm out in deliberate swagger. Seconds later, my arm was rising. She used her driver's door button to direct my window back up. She argued that I would not bring her handbag back if a vendor snatched it through my window. Now, half an hour later, mother resolved to listen to break the silence. This was her preferred and only mode of apology. She turned over and forced eye contact. After the market, we must go to the pharmacy. We need to get your auntie more of the medicine, she added. Things, situations, or people that stressed mother out always became ours, as if to share the burden. And she applied yours when she needed space from them. As for the medicine, we never discussed what it was. We had been going to the pharmacy every Saturday since Auntie Anne and grandmother arrived. It all started 4 months ago on a Sunday morning. I was glaring at the window, dissatisfied with my reflection. I preferred my usual church outfit, jeans and a t-shirt, but mother was expecting me in the new dress she bought today. Suddenly, mother burst into the room and announced that grandmother and auntie were en route. Her serious tone well-defined that this was not good news. I was to miss church and help with the preparations. My father and brothers would go to church, so the family was still represented. Grandmother called and announced their arrival. Mother and I cruised to the bus station. In the city, churchgoers were headed in all directions, outfitted in their best suits and polished shoes, pressing Bibles of all sizes on their bellies. The city was silent. Even the vendors had the day off. We found them sitting outside the station on the roadside. The stench of sweat in the bus station made my auntie nauseous. She collapsed onto my grandmother's lap, with my grandmother holding her tight in one arm and holding their suitcase tighter in the other. My mother jumped out of the car and I followed. She and grandmother helped Auntie Anne into the back seat while I carried the suitcase to the car boot. We raced straight to the hospital. Today there was no greeting. Grandmother did not ask about school, nor did Auntie tease me about my ass finally taking shape. In fact, I avoided her. Seeing her like this felt disrespectful. Our elders were never to be weak or vulnerable. I focused on the road. Auntie Annie was admitted at the hospital and discharged a few days later. She was put on bed rest. She and grandmother moved into my brother's rooms, and the boys turned the living room into a hostel. Each Sunday since then, we visited the pharmacy for the medicine. This was usually our first agenda, but this week, mother put it last. Mother had changed since Dr. Bakua had last visited Auntie Annie. She was sleeping in and no longer wearing her weave. Yesterday, I overheard her on the phone with grandfather. Ababa, come soon. Bring the boys. They need to be with their mother, and you should be with your daughter in these days. The traffic resurrected, the cars ahead of us picked up speed, mother ignited our Corolla. I wanted to ask how she was, but not entirely sure what to say. I replied, you also wanted to drop off those containers at Pastor Bongwe's, and I was thinking we get some fish from Madeko. I put my hand on her lap and added, with Grandmother Anthony and Maliko coming, we might need some extra relish. She nodded in agreement, squeezed my hand, and swung the handbrake. Thank you.